This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So you guys ready? Bismillah. Start with some signs. Allah says, "Alimul Ghayb." Allah knows the unseen. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ what? أَحَدَ. Allah says He knows the unseen. He does not share it with no one. So no, some random guy in the basement, I don't know where, is like, I know a few things. None of that stuff. Fair enough. No jinn, no angel. Nothing. But then Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Except that Allah would share some information with some who? Rasul, which is prophets. So may Allah allow us to go back to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah. Matters of income and making money. Regarding making money, jobs and income, there are certain signs about that. May Allah make our income halal. Say ameen. I'll share with you three bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, excessive trade and businesses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَيْنَ يَدَيِ السَّاعَةِ. As يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ is approaching, one of the signs that spreading of business. Everyone is an entrepreneur now. All right? Now that it's haram, everybody is jumping into getting jobs. Male, female, young, old. It's all over the place. Some say it means there's a lot of markets, a lot of malls, a lot of shopping centers, subhanAllah. What else does it mean? That people will be focused so much on the abundance of work that they neglect their faith. So you hear a brother tell him, Akhi, Salat al-Jum'ah. He's like, bro, my job. You know, hustle, keep grinding, whatever the case may be, at the expense of their faith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? فَوَاللَّهِ لَلْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. This is a very important hadith. He says, I swear by Allah, it's not poverty that I'm scared the Muslim ummah will struggle financially. I'm not worried of the side effects of you struggling financially. Then what are you worried about? وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. What I'm worried is that you become financially comfortable. I'm scared of the consequences of you having some good income. Dunya to open up. Everything is simple. Everything is easy. A click of a button. Buy now. Right? Prime tomorrow between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. Everything opens up. Then why? What's wrong with that, Ya Rasulullah? He says, because usually when the dunya opens up, like the people in the past, فَتَنَافَسُوهَا, they competed with one another. Who has a nicer car? Oh, she renovated her house. Wallah, I'll renovate my kitchen. You just had it 2 years ago. So she got a new kitchen, right? Oh, he brought this new car. I'm going to buy a newer competition. Oh, he bought this. I did this. She did this. She wore that to the wedding. Wallah, I'll show her the next wedding. Wow, subhanAllah. She did this massage. She went to that place, manicure, whatever. I will show. Then the brothers compete. May Allah grant us success and forgiveness. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then he says, then they will compete. Then they will be destroyed like the people in the past, how they were destroyed. SubhanAllah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned the excessiveness in business and people are so focused in getting an income, he says, to the extent that what? That's what he said. To the extent that the wife will aid her husband in the business. حتى تعين المرأة زوجها على التجارة. That's what he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now I want you to imagine he's saying this when the norm is that the breadwinner is a man. The norm is that if there are children and so on, the lady, the mother, stays full-time as a mother. That's when the Prophet is talking to the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat. So it's not normal at all for someone, a woman, that is having children to work full-time. Now, few things. Number one, working very hard is not something that is wrong, necessarily, at face value. Having a woman helping the husband, is that haram? No, it's not. But what is the Prophet telling you? Much of the signs of the Day of Judgment are negative connotation. Remember that. So, these are warnings. If you're reaching a point that you're working too much, that you stop coming to the masjid, maybe you need to slow down. If you want to have a higher income, 10,000, 20,000, that will not change your life, but you're willing to move, God knows how far from the masjid, and you will stop showing up to the masjid, don't take that raise, don't move to that job. Take it from your brother. It's not worth it. Life is way too short to do that change. Right? So be very careful when the Prophet says that. If you're working so much, what do many of our sisters complain? I'm not that old, but many years ago, until this day comes up, sisters complain, wallahi brother, when the husband comes back, he barely helps out with the kids. Right or wrong? Guess what now? The wife is with the husband. So now the kids say, Wallahi, brother, my mom and dad. Subhanallah, may Allah make it easy for all of us. So once again, be there. I know it's a sensitive, it can trigger some people, but calm down. This is haq, this is deen. I'm not saying it's haram. Relax, breathe in, breathe out. So just being very careful, prioritize your life accurately, and Allah is your ultimate judge. Fair enough? Let Allah be your ultimate judge. So then he says, to the extent that the wife will aid her husband in the business, and then people will not care where they get their money from. That's the third sign. A point will come, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أيام لا يبالي المرء بما أخذ المال. Like, I don't care, bro, as long as I get money. By what is it? What do you call it? The ends justify the means. أمن حلال أمن حرام. The Prophet says, people will reach a point like, bro, I don't care, bro. Halas, why are you being so picky? You know very well that the 401k packages has some haram stocks in it. Well, you should be caring, yes or no? And I'll never forget that brother who grabbed me in Masjid al-Salam many years ago, and he told me, wonderful brother from Syria, he says, Akhi, where do you put your retirement package at? I said, my package? I have it in this such and such, Fidelity. He said, do you know where is your stocks at? I told him, Wallah, ma ba'arif. I'm not really sure. He said, you go give lectures and you don't know the source of where your money is coming from? You want more transparency than this? We all make mistakes. Many years ago. Now, mashallah, all right? Make more mistakes. So then he took me to Qahwa House. This is not marketing for the coffee shop. Anyhow, the same night, he's like, listen, let's go. I'll open up. I said, I don't have my laptop. He's like, your phone. Subhanallah. So I went to my phone. He's like, shift. This is not halal. And he's like, Wallahi, subhanallah. I ended up investing in this company and that company. So I should be more aware. You should be more cautious. He taught me how to do things. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Very much was able to shift things. Now, learn more about if the bulk is halal or not. That's where fatawa comes in, the rulings of halal haram. But what's the key point here? You should what? Be aware and care about where your source of income is coming from. May Allah grant us wisdom, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is he saying? He says, matters of knowledge and education, some signs. So what was the first theme we chose? Money, right? Income, and so on. Now here, in terms of knowledge and education, what's your guess is the sign? You take a shot. What do you see around you? Secularism. Okay, fantastic. Secularism, right? Okay, what do you see also in terms of signs about knowledge and education? Are we educated or uneducated? Huh? You guys are like, I'm not sure. You're shocking us tonight, brother, already. I thought I was educated until you start speaking, right? May Allah forgive us. Go ahead.
People will study like in school, but not Islam.
Fantastic, mashallah, tabarakallah. Right, but let me just tweak it a little bit. You're right. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says two things, ready? He says, ignorance prevails, and he says what? Spread of literacy. I'm confused. There are two opposites. He said what? Ignorance prevails and spread of literacy, like the writing. Al-Qalam. How do you guys reconcile? Reconcile.
Fake news.
Fake news. Okay. Ahsan. There's a lot of news, but it's fake. Ignorant. Fantastic. Try. Use of what? MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. See, that's when you... I'll tell you what she said. You're like, what did she say? What did she say? No, really, like, oh. Right? I'll tell you. What's so good about sometimes repeating specific content is that the references change with the years. So you and I should not say, well, I learned the seerah back in 2015. Why learn it now? Because now you hear it differently. Now you relate differently. You know what she said? Though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said spread of literacy, people can read and write, but what was it before? She said, for example, using the AI systems and ChatGPT. There's a lot of knowledge, but the one who's submitting it can be very ignorant. So here is spread of literacy. The other thing as well, I want you to realize, among the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, many people knew how to write? See, when we hear it now, it's different. The Sahaba, they don't know, the Prophet does not know how to read and write. Very, very few Sahaba, very few knew how to write, correct? Very few. So he's saying that most people will know how to write, but the knowledge decreases. I.e., as Brother Jazallah Khair, he said, in terms of religious knowledge, people are what? Are very ignorant. A guy can be in his 20s, 30s, and his wudu is inaccurate. Doesn't know. Like, bro, is it third rak'ah or fourth rak'ah? Do I how do I make it up? If I don't know if it's, do I wipe over the sock? You know what I mean? Now, if it's a new Muslim, it's a different story. But you've been Muslim for a long time. But you're a genius. Nothing less than a genius in other fields. But ignorant in this field, which was supposed to be very critical. Listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something profound. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن الله يبغض, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, yalla, may Allah not make us of them. Who are they? كل جعذري. What does that mean? Allah hates the one who is rude. Allah does not like rude people. جواظ. What's جواظ? The one who is greedy with their money and always, always overeats. That's why one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is what? The increase of sumun. What is that? Obesity. I got to lose some pounds. I know some of you are uncomfortable. So am I. I need to lose some pounds, inshallah. But the obesity the Prophet is criticizing is the one that you had control over. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says of the signs, now he's saying this when people are what? Hungry. People are starving around him. Even the Prophet had two rocks tied on his stomach to show, like to try to hold his hunger, to trick his stomach that when you push, you know, when you have stomach pain, what do you do? So he does not have time to do this. So he just puts two rocks and ties it. Subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, obesity will go low all over. And Allah knows what's going on in America, right? Subhanallah. Then he says, jawab, sakhabin bil aswaq. Allah does not like the one who's obsessed about getting money and shouts in the marketplace. Ready? Jifa bil layl, who is a rotten corpse by night. What is that? What do you mean rotten corpse by night? Let me give you the other one. Maybe you'll be able to answer the first one. Himar bin Nahar. And works like a donkey by day. How many times we heard it from our own families? Wallah bishtagal zay al-himar, mashallah. Right? He works like a donkey. Allahumma barik. Right? So the Prophet actually said it. Authentic narration. He's like, in the morning, himar shughul. Like he works himar bin Nahar. Okay? But then at night, what? Dead body. Zombie. Right? In what sense? Where's the dhikr? Where's the Quran? Where's the salah? Where's this? Like, bro, put the alarm at 5 in the morning. Bro, I got exams tomorrow. So that's it. That's what we're talking about. Alim bi amri dunya. That person that Allah does not like, he's very knowledgeable in the worldly matters. But the Prophet explains. Jahil bi amri al-akhirah. But has no knowledge of the afterlife, of the deen. Subhanallah. So may Allah allow us to be able to balance things. It's not easy to balance. But what did the Prophet tell us? Saddidu what? Waqaribu, fantastic. The Prophet told us, do your best to be as good as you possibly can. Do your best to be as perfect as you can. He even said in one hadith, incredible, he says, seek perfection. Istaqimu, be perfect. The Prophet told you to aim for perfection, but what he said right after it? But you cannot. Walan tuhsu. But what do I do? Saddidu wa qaribu. Do your best. Every time you try to do good, mashallah, straight week of fajr in the masjid, you slipped a couple of days. Go back as much as you possibly can. So now, how is your situation? How would you grade yourself? Are you so educated about IT stuff, biology? You're a genius. You found this thing. You're a project for your graduation, engineering. Fantastic. You tell young people, like, mashallah, look at this. Look at this generation. A three-year-old can download apps on the iPad. Mashallah, alayhim. Right? Three-year-old genius. Tell him, قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He's like, I can't. So why? Then you tell his father. Did you teach him? Wallah, bro, I really focused on this district and that school. How many families do that? Is it wrong to move to a very good area because they have the best public school in Michigan? Is it wrong? No, inshallah. But it becomes wrong when you made it at the expense of your kid not knowing La ilaha illallah. That's where we messed up. And I shared with you the story of one physician somewhere in America, right? And then some of you asked me, like, did you end up accepting? A physician calls me, broken. What's wrong? He said, Allah gave me so much money. Very rich man. Allahumma barik. May Allah bless him and his wealth. Why is he sad? He said, Akhi, I'm calling you. I got your number from so-and-so. I need your help with my son. Why? What's wrong with your son? He said, my son, I had to bail him out from prison. He turned 18. He went into drugs. I took him out. I need your help. Why am I sharing the story with you? Because of what he's about to say. Then he says, brother, I have neglected my son. Wallahi, I'm telling you almost word for word. I neglected my son. I focused on making money. My focus was like money, 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 money. And now I saw how this backfired against me. And then he actually told me, I'll pay you whatever number that you want. And he actually gave me an actual number. And he was not joking. Just have him travel with you. Whatever you want. Let him carry your bag. Let him clean your shoes. Let him do anything you want. But just whatever. Just take my son with you. First of all, am I able? Are you able? And is his son willing to accept that to begin with? But let's work on things before it becomes too late. And there are people among us whom Allah has blessed, Allahumma barik, to be able to catch that. And inshallah, maybe we can get from their wisdom among us right now. They were able to shift their schedules, shift things around to prioritize learning more about the deen, getting closer to their families. So people tell me sometimes, they said, Brother Majid, don't stop giving da'wah. Travel the world. Every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, travel. Monday to Friday, work as an engineer. Saturday, Sunday, you go travel, give da'wah. I say, about my family. I said, bro, you're in your prime. Strength. Khalas, energy. You're standing. You can do it for 2-3 hours. A day will come where you can't stand. A day will come where we cannot be as energetic and you're sweating and you're still going. So do it now before it's too late. But I'm also in my prime as a father. I'm also in my prime to grab my kid and do this to them. I'm also in my prime. So may Allah allow us men specifically to be able to balance our prime. Which is hard, because we ask Allah to help us. And may Allah bless our sisters to also be able to balance their prime. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So here with all these things about ignorance and prevails, look what happens next. If we're so focused on money, we have no knowledge of the deen, what happens? Matters of relationships. Families break apart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to matters of relationships, he said, لا تقوم الساعة. As the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, people cut the blood ties. People have no respect to their family relationships. The sisters are not talking. The brothers are not talking. The niece and the nephew, they don't know anything about each other. قَطِيعَةُ الرَّحِمْ. They cut each other. When someone comes and says, Wallahi, I will not talk to her again. Why? Because I saw her wearing the same dress I wore in the wedding. Why? Why? Wallahi, she knew I bought this. Why she bought it? I know Allah cut the ties of kinship over a dress. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. It's not easy. It's a struggle to some people, right? How is your situation? How come he didn't invite me over for the wedding? But maybe he forgot. He didn't forget. He knew. He knew. But he said, no, I'm not inviting him. Habibi, we forget. Al-insan yansa. Human beings forget. La, wallahi, I'll never talk to them again. Yes or no? Sometimes, subhanAllah, this week, someone was saying, you know what? I don't want to serve that family member of mine. So I told that person, why would you not serve them? They said, because when I go there, they don't serve me. So why serve them? I'm not serving them no more. That's not how we work. Don't be the guy that says, I don't show respect until I receive it. Because what if the other guy said the same thing? Right or wrong? Yeah. SubhanAllah. So all these things to keep in mind. May Allah grant you Jannah. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا وَلَدَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. The point of disrespect comes, as I mentioned last session, that the mother would deliver a child where the child becomes the mother's master. Where's the adab? Where's the respect? Right? You have do not disturb. You have do not disturb. But there are certain friends that your phone will ring at do not disturb, right? I hope my number is there. Right? You have the night mode, sleep mode. But where's your mom in that list?
Starts at
9 o'clock at night, subhanAllah, right?
Yeah.
May Allah protect us. Oh, okay, so there's hints being thrown, right? A lot of, did he hear? Did he?
9 o'clock at night, they need to take that do not disturb off.
SubhanAllah, just be careful, inshallah, and may Allah grant us all success. Say ameen. So when parents are calling, when I attend, I didn't play basketball, but it was a basketball game, and then the guy was like, his phone was ringing, he looked at it, he's like, who was it? He's like, oh, it's my mom, and he threw it, and he walked away. Why? What are you doing? But if so-and-so, you take it very serious. And forgive me, I'm going to share something I shared in the conference on Saturday, but there's no harm in repeating it. The brother that I was on his left side, and he was driving on the right side. You can tell where I was, I? In the UK. So then he got a text message, so he gave it to the guy behind him to respond to the message. And I was very happy. I was actually really proud of him, to be honest. So I'm like, I hope American kids can learn from him, right? And myself as well. So then he passed back. He said, reply back. So the guy in the back said, okay, what should I write? He said, type, I am dropping off Brother Majid to so-and-so location. So the guy says, do I type, wa alaykum as-salam? He said, no, it's just my mother. Wallah, it's like, and see, what hurts, why did it hurt so much? Many, many, many levels. Number one is that he did not see it wrong. You guys see that? Because if he saw it to be wrong, then at least he would not say it in front of me. At least. So he does not see it wrong, and that means he's perhaps been doing it for a while with his parents. But then obviously the whole ride was lecture mode, right? Right? The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say when the man asked him, who deserves my best treatment? Man ahaqqu an-nas bihusni sahabati. Who deserves, like, if I have one gift to give, if I have one hug to give to someone, if I have an hour to spare and drink coffee with someone, who deserves it? Your mom. Subhanallah. Then the sahabi said, okay, then who? Your mom. All right, Ya Rasulullah, okay, then who? Like, besides that, your mother. Then, your father, right? Why are you guys laughing? Subhanallah. They laugh this time, right? And don't misunderstand the hadith the way that brother misunderstood it. If it was not true, I would probably never shared it with you. There's a brother who had a new baby. And when the baby cried that night, that brother woke his wife up. He's like, hey, wake up, check the baby out. She's like, man, you woke up before me, right? Just logical. But she didn't want to cause problems. May Allah bless her, you know. I mean, then you'll see if you're going to say I mean afterwards. Let's see. So then she got up, she saw the baby, she grabbed the baby, trying to make na ninni, whatever she did. All right? I don't know how I'm going to upload this on YouTube, but anyhow. All right? And then she put the baby to sleep, the baby slept, then she went back to bed. Same night, what happens? Baby cries again. So who wakes up first? The husband. He's like, hey, what? Wake up, the baby's crying. Oh, okay. She got up, she went to the baby's room. The whole thing again, all right? Baby namninni, all right? Okay. So then she went back. Same night, what happens? The baby cries. And who wakes up first? The father. So he's like, hey, get up, check the baby. She's like, what's wrong with you? He's your son, just like it's my son. Why don't you wake up? He said, the prophet said, your mom, then your mom, then your mom, then your father. Go. Subhanallah. And he's innocent. Subhanallah. So that's when he twists things, right? Subhanallah. Brother's like taking notes. Like, oh. Right? Subhanallah. May Allah protect us. Say ameen. Anyhow, may Allah make us just, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So who deserves the best treatment? Who deserves the flower and the WhatsApp message response? Who deserves the kiss on the side emoji? Be different tonight, inshallah. Khalas, if that's not your norm, make it start from tonight, inshallah. The way you reply back, salamu alaykum. Don't put WSRSS. Say wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmat. Samsung can save it. I don't know about iPhone. You say, well, W, alaykum, salam, rahmatullahi, wa barakatuh, right or wrong? But you have to put the means first and save it. Then you put these emojis and you will very likely get a call back. And you'll be asked, are you okay? Right? And you say, yes, mama, I made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In terms of relationships, besides family, what were the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah? لا تقوم الساعة حتى يظهر سوء المجاورة. People will not have respect to their neighbors. Subhanallah. Unkind, unfriendly neighbors spread. This will be a very unpleasant relationship. And is it spreading or not in a general sense? Right? And it can be even the simplest of things. How many of us, be honest, don't raise hands, but be honest. How many of you are concerned the height of the grass will irritate your neighbor? Not will get you a ticket by the city. See the difference? How many of you are concerned that you tell your children, shh, not everybody prays Taraweeh? Walking slowly. How many? Like, bro, it's Quran. I'm coming back from Salah. Right? What are you doing? Sahullah. How many of us are very concerned that when we drive, we don't peek in our neighbor house? Especially if people are like peeking second floor, what are you doing? Right, bro, in Dearborn, the houses are closed. So now, غُدّ البصر. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now don't do it. The laws and things are different. But if someone had the curtains closed and the doors locked and they are showing that they don't want anyone to see the house and you try to kind of peek a little bit, that owner of the house has the right to pop your eyeball out. Yes, but don't do it here. I clearly had a disclaimer first. حق له. It says حق because he made sure no one sees. And yes, the curtain was not closed all the way. The windows are not as tinted in the kitchen or whatever the case may be. And you're like, oh, what's going on there? Subhanallah. May Allah grant us wisdom. Say ameen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the neighbors so, so much. And I'm telling you, I admit, I wasn't like that. And I want to improve and improve and improve. We have these neighbors. We have to give the best image ever. Best image ever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever believes in Allah and on the day of judgment, do you guys believe? Yes. فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Honor your neighbor. Make your neighbor feel they're so special. You know to what extent? Make your neighbor feel they are your blood family. SubhanAllah, may Allah forgive us. Why am I saying almost like blood family? Who knows? Why did I say that? Why did I say that? You want to try? Try, go. Try. Because they live beside us. Smart man. MashaAllah. Because they're near us, so it's like family. MashaAllah, actually I like that. But why did I say it's like family almost? Why? You want to try? Fantastic. You can treat your neighbors like that. You can treat your blood family like that. Ready? Try last one. Oh, so make them feel comfortable, like feel like you're at home. Ahsanti, mashallah, tabarakallah. Ready for this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel kept coming to me, telling me to be good to my neighbors. Muhammad, be good to your neighbors. Tell the ummah, be good to your neighbors. So he said that Jibreel kept coming, until I felt at one point what? He will come and tell me, when you die, or when the people die, the neighbors take part of the inheritance. حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. That's how important it is. I remember, subhanAllah, one of my children, they came to me, like, Baba, what are you doing this for? And this, as I told you, I'm learning. I still have a long way to go. We had a tree, a big branch that fell. It's our property. And it was quite big. So I said to myself, khalas, maybe I will delay picking it up, give it a couple days, kada kada. Then I realized I shouldn't be delaying it because this is harming my neighbor. My neighbor doesn't like seeing a massive tree branch on my property that as I'm responsible for. So then I had a little bit of a back pain, but I had to be also realistic as well. So I was trying to move and everything and get a chainsaw, and I bought one to go cut it. She said, why are you doing this? I'm like, it's our neighbor. Rasulullah told me, this is deen. We're getting some massive reward, inshallah. This is how we're supposed to be looking at it. And may Allah make us consistent. Say ameen. So be at a whole other level with your neighbors. One time my neighbor told me, they said, when you park your car, please don't let the tire be on top of the curb. Because you know how it like smears it a little bit, like dark? Because it ruins the image. Don't say, it's my property, it's my curb. There's no need, khalas. That's why I'll make sure we'll do that. So may Allah grant us wisdom. Say ameen. Now what else about relationships? Something very interesting. Even a brother, I shared it. He said, you know what? I noticed it. He says, taslimul khassa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is selective greeting. So I come here, I know Brother Munir, I know Brother Ammar. But let's say I don't know Munir. Ammar, assalamu alaikum. How many times does that happen? You're in the masjid. You're in the masjid. You finished, you got up, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Then you walk, you have icon, assalamu alaikum. Right? How many times? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that this is of the signs of the Day of Judgment. And this, subhanAllah, the narration of this hadith is incredible. There was a sahabi, I think it was Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, if I'm not mistaken. A man came by and he had other people around him, the companion. So he said, assalamu alaikum, to the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salamu alaikum. So he said, wa alaikum as-salam. Then he said, sadaqa Rasulullah. He said, the Prophet has said the truth. The Prophet has said the truth. After salah, people said, should we ask him? What does he mean? He said, yeah, ask him. He said, you said the Prophet said the truth. What are you referring to? Because he was standing next to other people And this man came, said salam only to him, subhanAllah. So inshallah, to end, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, matters of character and behavior, matters of character and behavior. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come, sanawatun khadda'at, years of treachery. What does he mean? يُصَدَّقُ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ, the liar is trusted and accepted and believed. وَيُكَذَّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ, and the one who's truthful is being rejected and being denied. 40 babies beheaded, the biggest of lies. And it went all around the world and did a full circle. Then CNN comes and says, we take this back, it has not been confirmed. SubhanAllah. But the damage has been done. Kadhib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about a punishment, yawm al-qiyamah, to whom? To a person who says a lie, فَتَبْلُغُ الْآفَاقُ, that lie goes viral. Now he's saying this when there's no social media. How can a lie go viral in the desert, like between like seven families? Right, 30 families? Now you can say it, and it goes viral all across the world. That causes the death of people. I truly believe that lie caused someone to release a missile because of that image. I truly believe people, there's blood in the hands of the one who lied this. And now they knew who started it. It was a soldier whom was reported by a lady. I think her name is Nicholas. I actually tagged her and tried to explain to people about this. She referenced it. I saw. Then after all the pressure, she said, I didn't see, but I was what? Told. Who told you? This guy. And this was all lies. To that point that the strongest man on earth, the most powerful human, the United States of America's president, says it. You see how bad the lies are becoming. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That even that level, you know what this makes me feel? I'm not trying to be controversial, but we need to all be wide awake. If he lied the silliest of lies, what other things has he lied? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a man walking in the halaqa, like imagine like this session, and then a guy is saying, Ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? So the Prophet continued his speech. Ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? And he continued his speech. So the Sahaba were arguing. Did the Prophet hear and ignore? Or did the Prophet not hear? Just out of curiosity, who here thinks the Prophet heard and ignored? Who here thinks the Prophet did not hear? Okay, and the others did not hear me. Right? So the man is asking, when is Day of Judgment? So the Sahaba, like, did he hear him or not? Like, this is like the Prophet, you know, ignored him, oh, whatever. When the Prophet was done, he asked, where is the guy asking me when is the Day of Judgment? So that means what? He heard him. Ayna huwa? So the man says, here I am, Ya Rasulullah. It comes to teach us, like, be careful of interrupting. Like, you can raise your hand, but not like cut off, right? SubhanAllah. So especially Rasulullah is talking. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ready? He says, the Day of Judgment will come when? إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ, when there's no more honesty or trust in the world. There's no more trust. We don't trust this guy. We don't trust this person. The Prophet says in another narration, he says, a day will come where the people want to buy and sell and almost no one is honest. You go to an entire massive mall and not a single one is honest. فَيُقَالْ, then it is said, إِنَّ فِي بَنِي فُلَانِ, in so and so area, رَجُلًا أَمِينًا, there's a trustworthy person. So you want to go fix your garage. Like, I don't know about Dearborn or Detroit or Dearborn Heights, and we have this stigma or this reputation. May Allah forgive us. Let me go to someone up in the west, get someone from Grand Rapids. But don't get me Ahmed or Muhammad. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I'm telling you this, why I gave you the garage example, because I have a brother who made tawbah, repentance, and shared with me a story. He said, I was working for a guy that fixes garage doors, and I couldn't work with him anymore. I said, why? He said, because when we went, we saw the problem, and the problem was so simple. So my boss, when he came teaching me like how to work and to fix it, he noticed it was a simple job. So he went and he broke a piece in the garage, broke it. So the brother told me, I said to my boss, why would you break that piece? He said, we got to make the job worth it. Muslim, We gotta make the job worth it. He couldn't continue. This is mal haram. This is haram income. What do you mean make the job worth it? May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. And then the man continued. He said, Ya Rasulullah, okay. Lack of trust. What's the biggest sign that Yawm Al-Qiyamah, khalas, يعني, the major signs, the peak of minor signs, what's one of the greatest signs that there's no more trust? We're reaching that point. What's the sign? إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ لِغَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرْ السَّاعَةِ When people not worthy of leadership take leadership positions, that's it, it's over. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are two types of people, and I'll end with this. There are two types of people that I have never seen in my life. I have never seen in my life. And they will never go except to hellfire. Who are they? Something to do with the men and something to do with the women. As for the men, he says in one narration, Rijal. What about them? They are abusive. Physically abusive men. Then he said, مَعَهُمْ صِيَاتٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ They have whips like the tails of cattle. يَضْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ They strike people with it. Some scholars, they said, these abusive men, part of it are ones that work for the government. So today is known as what? Police brutality. The ones that are supposed to protect the people ended up abusing the people. Physically strong men. Then some scholars said, هَؤُلَاءِ هُمُ الشُّرَطَ الَّذِينَ يَضْرِبُونَ النَّاسَ بِغَيْرِ حَقِّ They hit the people with no justification. So I did some research. And I'll share with you something very, wallahi, you read this, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying it so many years ago, according to the year 2000, U.S. Department of Justice study, 84%, let me do a disclaimer, obviously not all cops are bad, it's a given, but sometimes you have to affirm that. And we have some wonderful police officers in Dearborn, may Allah bless them and grant them Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and guide all of them, the whole team, right? So we have to be fair. We don't want to paint everybody with the same brush. Just like how you don't like it when they do it to us Muslims, don't do it to others. So according to a study at the year 2000, U.S. Department of Justice, 84%, this is insane, of police witnessed what? Fellow officers using more force than necessary. That's crazy. You're saying out of 10 cases, 8 officers are using excessive force. Sadaqa Rasulullah. And he said, this is the sadder part, I think. 61% of them did not report what they considered to be serious criminal violations. They didn't want to report it. But now, I'm going to give you some good news, a little bit better. Ready? A 2012 study concluded that as a result of having officers wear what? Cameras. When they start wearing cameras during all their interactions with civilians, complaints against officers went down by what? Give me a number. 88%. It's crazy. In 1 year, and police use of force dropped by 60%. But we don't need cameras in our lives. Allah is Ar-Raqib, the watchful. We should be like that as much as we possibly can. So brothers, yes, you go, you become strong, and so on and so forth. But that strength, put it في سبيل الله سبحانه وتعالى. Put it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to brag and show off and to flex. SubhanAllah, especially, and you have to go watch your intention. May Allah grant us all sincerity. This is not a call for you to stop working out. I actually hope everyone hits the gym, to be honest. Especially now. Hit the gym. Go cardio, go lifting weights, anything, but become physically stronger as much as you possibly can. Very important. Of course, as well for the sisters. Now, what's the other type of people the Prophet never saw and they're going to hellfire? If the one was about men, this is about immodest women. He said, نِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ A time will come when there are women, they are wearing clothes, but they're naked. How is that? The clothes are so tight. He didn't say it's so tight, but that's one meaning. The clothes are so tight, it's not they're not wearing anything. Or they barely have enough clothing that covers their body. Or they wear clothing that are see-through. Yes, it's covered, but it can see through to the body. But the Prophet did not just focus on the outer which we have to be very careful, men and women, may Allah grant us modesty, increase in it, all of us, Ya Rab. He explains how they behave. Ready? Bismillah. He says, mumilat. What is mumilat? They seek with their attitude to gain the attention of men. Mumilat, Emil. So the way they walk. Ma'ilat. So mumilat, ma'ilat. So in addition of their immodesty in clothing, they add more immodesty in their moves. So their focus is to get attention. So they wore immodest clothing and they behaved in an immodest way. Then he says, ru'usuhunna, their heads, ka'asnimati al-bukht al-ma'ila. It's like the humps of the camel inclined to one side. I honestly do not know what that part means. Right? Humps of the camel inclined to one side. Some ulama said perhaps it's literal. Some said maybe it's the way they do their hair. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Then he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these men and these women, la yadkhulunna al-jannah, such abusive men, immodest women, they will not enter Jannah and will not even smell it, though the smell of Jannah can be smelled from years distance. May Allah grant us modesty, exterior and interior. And may Allah put barakah in our time, barakah in our health. These were just some of the many signs of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. People asked me today, I was at another coffee shop. He said, brother, when is Dajjal? When is Al-Mahdi? What's all the good stuff? I promise, inshallah, to give you as much detail as you possibly heard. Wallahu ta'ala alam. I'll do my absolute best. November 10th, inshallah. All right. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum.